I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
We thank God for the opportunity to share His Word. The Word of God, the Bible says, is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. That means without the Word, we are living and walking and moving in darkness. And anyone who continues to walk in darkness concerning any area of our lives, we're bound to make mistakes, we're bound to stumble, and we're bound to hurt ourselves. And that's why we should be grateful to the Lord for every opportunity to study the Word, to go into the Bible, to see what the Bible says about life, about God, our relationship with Him, and our relationships with one another. So we thank God for this morning, and I'd like us to bow our heads for prayer as we get ready to go into the Word. Thank you, Jesus. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of last week, I started sharing with you a new series of messages called The Determinants, and it's from this book, The Determinants, which is another one of the powerful books written by our dear pastor, and which can be found in the Macarius collection of books. And so if you have your Macarius, you can reach out for this particular book, and we study this message together. Hallelujah. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11 is our key scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. That is our key scripture upon which this whole sermon is based. So let's read that verse. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Let's read it again. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. It says, so I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, right? The race is not to the swift, and then nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Hallelujah. Now, this verse is obviously showing us how things go, right? Time, out of all those things there, the two things that are not within our control are the last two that are mentioned as influences or determinants of what of outcomes. The last two things that are mentioned are time and chance. Those are the things that are beyond our control. We don't control how much time we get to have, let's say, on this earth. Do you see? We didn't control when we were born. We didn't control when we were born, and we don't control when we're going to die. So in that sense, then time is not in our hands. And then chance, opportunities are also not controlled by us, right? So those are the two things that are controlled by external factors. Those are, if you like, the supernatural elements that can influence lives to change or affect and impact outcomes, right? Now, until then, the Bible is showing us, you know, things that affect results and affect outcomes. And I'm sure these we can all agree with, that if it's about a race, then typically the swift person is the one who wins the race. The swiftest one, the fastest one, the one who runs fastest is the one who will win a race, right? If it's a battle, then the strongest one is the one who will win the battle. Same for bread, and then also riches, and then also favor and skill. So what the Bible is saying is that ordinarily, until the supernatural or the factors we don't control kick in, these elements here are going to be the determinants of your life. They're going to be the determinants of success or failure. They're going to be the determinants of advancement, progress, blessing, so many different things, right, that happen in our lives will be controlled by these ones. Our speed, our strength, our wisdom, our understanding, and then favor, all right? Or our skill. These are the things that will control what happens in your life. Hallelujah. So since you don't control the other factors, then as far as you are concerned, what you should be doing is working on these and developing these, because the more developed you are in any of these things, then the more likely you are to be successful in whatever you have chosen to do with your life. Hallelujah. So last week, we started talking about the first determinant, which is speed. Okay. And we observed how speed impacts, first of all, even salvation, that there is an element of speed that determines, you know, whether or not people will even get saved. That is how quickly a person responds to an opportunity to be saved, you know. And I was sharing with you how that many people get saved and get saved quicker and easier when they are young. That is why we must not despise young people in our attempt to share the gospel. Let's not despise young people, because Jesus actually said, of such is the kingdom. You know, he said, allow little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom. The kingdom of God belongs to such. Like, little children get saved easier than grown-ups, adults with complicated lives, and adults who have so many reasons not to have faith. Do you see? Now, the fact that something is fighting your reasons or your reasoning or making it difficult for you to have faith or to believe doesn't mean faith is not real. Do you see? If you have an obstacle blocking you from doing something, it doesn't mean that thing is not real. It doesn't mean doing that thing is wrong. It is what it is, which is that you do have an obstacle before you. That obstacle may not be before everyone. So others may be getting saved, others may be experiencing it, and you will not experience that thing because you in particular are having that difficulty. Hallelujah. So allow young people to be saved, right? Allow young people to be saved. The blood of Jesus can affect everyone, and everyone can be saved by the blood of Jesus. But the truth is that we don't all, we are not all able to afford the faith. You get it? Sometimes people have become so complex in their beliefs. They are so exposed to so many things that just to read the simple scriptures and to read and believe what the Bible says, that you need to confess your sins, even to admit that you're a sinner, it becomes very difficult for people. You see, but that's something you would have believed much earlier if it had been offered to you. So the speed with which people, or the speed or the place in their lives where they encounter an opportunity to be saved is a determinant as to whether people will be saved or not. Another thing that is affected by speed is, you know, number five, blessing. Blessing, whether or not you'll be blessed, is also affected by how quickly you respond to an opportunity to be blessed, right? And we see in the Bible a very good example from Genesis chapter 27, where Isaac and Jacob are dealing with their father. Esau and Jacob are dealing with their father. Esau and Jacob are twin brothers, and their father is about to bless Isaac, right? And in verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim that he could not see, and he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death, right? Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And verse four says, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. That my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, if you jump to verse 19, it says, and Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. This is Jacob tricking his father. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Right? Then it says, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? So quickly, right? So Isaac noticed the speed. You see, he noticed the speed element in what was happening. The fact that the provision he had requested had been made and had been brought to him, and it had come so quickly. Do you see? And it says, he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. This is Jacob lying to his father and all that. You get it? But anyway, the way the story goes, in the end, Isaac blesses Jacob. Isaac blesses Jacob and gives him a blessing that belonged to Esau. Do you see? Now, when Jacob was standing before his father, he was deceiving him. First of all, he was not Esau at all. He was not Esau. He was Jacob posing as Esau. Then secondly, even the meat that he had prepared was actually not venison. The meat was goat meat that had been seasoned and treated like venison, right? But you notice that even when he had those two wrong, you know, getting the timing right seems to have placed the blessing within his reach, even in spite of not having the actual thing. What Isaac had asked for was venison, cooked in a certain way. Now, Jacob shows up. He has no venison, but has something else which he has cooked the way Isaac would like it, but then cooked it with speed. With speed. Do you see? And sometimes you find even the wrong thing when it comes your way, but comes at the right time, you tend to choose that. Do you see? Instead of waiting for the right thing that comes much later. So you see that sometimes people enter a kitchen and they start to eat what they can find. Do you see? They start to eat what they can find. Now, what they can find may not necessarily be the healthiest thing, or it may not even be the best, but that's what will get eaten. Do you get it? Now, later on, the real thing will come. It will show up in its time, you know, nicely decorated and everything. But you have come, but there's no room for you. There is no room for you because something else. You see, and that's why there is such a food called fast food. Fast food is good at this, right? All that fast food has is that it is rich in speed. Even though it lacks nutrients or it lacks in health, it is often chosen. You see, it is often chosen because of the speed element, right? So in your life, you will find that there are many blessings that you may miss just because you're too slow, you get it, at fulfilling what those blessings require to land on your plate. Do you understand? So if you want to be blessed, it's not just doing the right things, but that you must do the right thing with speed. Do you see? The speed, the pace at which you do the right thing also matters, because in the end, you may do what is right. Like Esau, he returned later with the right meat, but it was too late. You know, he had the right meat, he had cooked it, but Isaac had already eaten. And Isaac had already handed down the blessing to Jacob. Do you see? Who didn't have the perfect meat? He didn't have it all together, but his speed was right. Do you see? He was in the right place at the right time. And for whatever it was, it seemed like at the time, because I was just wondering, couldn't Isaac tell the difference between the meats? You know, couldn't he tell that he was not eating what he asked for? But it seems that it didn't matter to him. It seems what mattered more to him was how it had been prepared. you know, which was a secret that was known to his wife. That is, Rachel was her name. And she knew how Isaac liked his things. And so she applied it. She applied the right thing, even to the wrong meat. And then with the advantage of time and speed, they were able to score the goal, fulfill the requirement, and then the blessing came upon them. Do you understand? So there are some things that you need to do just quickly. You need to do it quickly. There is a time for everything, the Bible says. Some things will not happen when you let them fall out of their time. You get it? There are some opportunities you need to take them just as they arrive. You need to take it now, now, now. We'll fix the imperfection later as we go along. But take that opportunity now. One of those opportunities is a chance to be saved. Take the chance to be saved now. Do you see? And so many other things in so many other areas of life, you need to apply speed in order to benefit from it. You know, there is a man in the Bible in John chapter 5, the book of John chapter 5. There is a man there that we should read about since we are talking about this, okay? But in John chapter 5, we read about this man who was not well. And the Bible says he was lying at the pool. John chapter 5, it says, verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Then number two, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Do you see? Waiting for the moving of the water. Why? For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Then whosoever then, not so fast, good. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Right? Now read on. Verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Right? When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, and then verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming," do you see? "While I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Do you see? And Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Okay. And then what happened in verse 9? Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. Now, this is a very interesting story that illustrates the verse we just read. The key verse, Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. This verse illustrates it. Obviously, the man gets healed. He gets healed because something outside the normal determinants, you know, had happened to him, which is the time and chance bit of it, right? The supernatural, which is the visitation of Jesus to the pool. The only reason why this man got healed on that day, right? Something that had happened, that had not happened to him for all the years he had been lying by the pool, you know, he had not been healed because of his lack of speed. Do you see? All the time that he had been sick, right? He had been sick 38 years. I don't know if he had been by the pool, is that for that long, but at least he had had his sickness for a long time. In fact, even when Jesus saw him, the Bible says the reason why he spoke to him was that he knew the man had been in that case a long time. He had been in that situation a long time. And I don't know if it would be because he had passed by there sometime and had seen him there and had come later and found out the man was still there or what. I don't know. But the reality is that the man had been in that situation a long time. And he himself explained why he had not been healed. The angel had come regularly as the angel would come. All right, which means the opportunity to be healed had always been there. The opportunity had come year after year after year after year. The opportunity had come, but his condition denied him of the speed. You see, and he said, I want to be healed. But when the water is moved, every time the water is moved, as I am coming, somebody takes my place. Somebody who is faster, somebody who is quicker, somebody who is smarter is able to jump in ahead of me, and my lack of speed intercepts my strong desire to be healed, and that causes me to miss the opportunity, and the opportunity is gone. Do you get it? So in the end, this man gets healed. But notice that he gets healed because time and chance happen to him. It happens that the supernatural is available at that time. Jesus intercepts the determinants and causes him to be healed by all means, even without speed. Do you see? And occasionally, you will find that you may experience the supernatural that causes you to experience something that your flouting of or disregard for the determinants, you know, should not allow you to have. But, you know, the supernatural will cause you to have. So Jesus caused him to be healed anyway. But without that encounter, if Jesus had not gone to that pool at that time, this man would not be healed. He would not be healed, even though the angel was still coming. And you notice that there's an element there in verse 4 or so. It says that whosoever first stepped into the water, anyone who first stepped into the water, the one who did it first, is the one that was blessed by whatever the angel had brought. You get it? And in life, it's like that. Some people are just good at delaying stuff. You know, you're going to apply for a job, but you won't apply for the job now. Do you get it? So yes, later your resume arrives there. And it's probably a better resume but the job has been offered to somebody else. Do you see? The job has been offered to somebody else, even though your resume is or looks better. You see, the Esau and Jacob case is like someone with a better resume than another person. Jacob came with goat meat. You get it? Goat meat, which is not venison. Do you understand? Yes. And Esau came later with venison, which is what Isaac wanted. Do you see? But goat meat prepared a certain way is chosen over venison prepared in that same way if the goat meat arrives in good time. If the goat meat arrives before the venison, it will be chosen before the venison. So there are some of us who have goat meat resumes, and then others have venison resumes. Do you see? But the problem is that the venison people never show up on time. The venison people will not present themselves in time. The venison people are slow to do it. Even their arrival at the interview, the venison person comes late.
Again.
Amen. Yeah. They come late. Sometimes you see even it happens when it comes to beloveds. you see that there's a goat meat brother and then there's a venison brother.
Hey!
The problem is that the venison brother will not speak. He will not speak. And he keeps dancing around you and dancing around you and is arranging one date after the other and one date after the other. And he's really good at buying all the cards that say the nice things and have the nice words. But, you know, it's not by cards. You got to open your mouth and declare your intention.
Amen.
Do you see? So then the goatish brother just steps forward. You know, and then he grabs the person and you find the person has said yes. You see, I've said yes to this person already, so I can't say yes to you also. But you would have been the person to have been preferred. Hallelujah. So we need to realize that it's not just a matter of an angel coming your way. You see, but the speed, how quickly you put yourself together to take advantage of the blessings, the opportunities, the chances that are before you, that is also a determinant. Do you understand? Because as we can see, the man was by the pool. I mean, it just happened that Jesus came there on that day. But if Jesus had not gone there that day, the man would have missed it once again. He would have missed the opportunity again, even though the angel had come by. And the angel represents opportunity. Opportunity. Do you see? And we see ourselves missing one opportunity after the other. One opportunity after the other. One opportunity after the other. If you're going to apply for something, apply for it now. You need to apply. You're going to apply to the thing, apply for it now. Yes. Why don't you do it now and rest instead of resting and doing it later? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Why don't you do it now? There are 30 days to apply for it. So why don't you apply for it at the beginning and rest the remaining of the 30 days instead of rest the first 15 to 20 days and then apply for it at the end? We often have it all mixed up. We misplace the arrangement and often it causes loss. It causes people not to experience things they would have experienced. And at the point, people become confused. They don't know whether God answered their prayer or not. Yeah, you become confused. You don't know whether God answered the prayer or not. It's like asking, did the angel come or not? Because the waters have moved, it's over, and you are still not healed. So it looks as though God didn't show up. But the angel came. The angel came. It's just that someone stepped ahead of you into the opportunity. And if Jesus does not show up with a second supernatural chance to be healed, then you remain unhealed and you are still sick, in spite of being right by the pool where all the miracles are happening. So God is speaking to us today. There are some of us who need to pick up our speed, pick up the speed with which we do things, the speed with which we respond to things, the speed by which we implement things. God is addressing your speed. God is speaking to you and saying that some things have not happened, not because he didn't send an angel, but because you have been too slow at taking advantage of the opportunity that God is giving you. Are you being blessed by the message
Very blessed.
Yes.
Something very, very.
Yes, Apostle.
Yes, Apostle.
Significant.
Powerful.
Yes. We are allowing too many goat meat people to present themselves, and we who have the venison keep losing. Do you see? You have the perfect thing, but you're presenting it at the wrong time. You know? Yeah. You have all the time, you're cooking your meal, you're taking your time to arrange it, decorate it, make a table, and so on. But you know, like when people go to fast food, nobody makes a table for them. You see the thing. You go to In-N-Out, they put your food in a red plastic basket.
Yeah.
Only that it comes with speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole business model is based on speed. Even the name of the business is In-N-Out, right? Mm. You just go in and out and you are done.
That's all.
You get it, yes. And for people who go there, it's not like they don't know where there's fine dining, where you need to wear a bow tie. I don't like going to these restaurants where they tell you wait to be seated. You get it? Yeah. When you're really hungry, it's not now time to wait to be seated.
Exactly.
Then I'll go to In-N-Out.
It's fast.
Because speed matters when people are hungry. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So we must not miss it. Amen. There's a chapter or part of the chapter, chapter 3, how to improve your speed. How to improve your speed. So we can read that real quick and then we'll close. It says, number one, improve your speed of understanding. Improve your speed of understanding. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3. The Bible says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Can you see? He'll be of quick understanding and shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. Right? Avoid long arguments that only destroy relationships. Become a person of quick understanding. Right? Try to think like your leader. If God has sent you, try to think the way God thinks. Let his mind be your mind. Try to understand the burden and the purpose that God has, right? Now, it's important for us to get this point about being of quick understanding. And you notice that a person who is of quick understanding is not waiting for his eyes to see to believe. Neither is he waiting for his ears to hear to believe. Do you see? Put that verse back again. It says, he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, right? And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. You know, that means he understands it before even his eyes see it, you see, and he reproves even before his ears hear it. You see, his actions have been taken, his decisions have been made, because he was quick to understand and he wasn't waiting to see everything. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? There is a verse here in Philippians that talks about, it says, let this mind be in you. It says, let this mind be in you, right? It's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, right? Now, there are thoughts and ways of thinking and mentalities that you just adopt. We're talking about how to improve your speed, right? And the way to improve your speed sometimes is not to rely on your own processor, which you must recognize when it's slow. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to recognize and be honest that your speed of processing information and processing the things and so on, it's slow. Do you get it? And if you realize that it's slow, then how do you help yourself? You help yourself by adopting the speed of the other person. Do you get it? Yes. And that is why, for example, when you accept to be led by someone, then you must believe the person. Do you see? Yes, because then you travel at his speed. So you will not always understand everything. You see, like a tractor trailer, the head and the trailer coming to a junction and then turning. It's the head that sees that the traffic light is green. But the trailer starts moving, though, even though it can't see that the traffic light is green. It's behind the head. But if it follows the head, it will beat the light and they'll both turn. I don't know if that makes sense, but you get it. If the trailer just keeps following the head, it will beat the light. Instead of the trailer arriving at the light and waiting for the light to be green for itself and starting to analyze the light by itself. Do you get it? So when you accept to be led by someone, when God gives you, the point where you get to make that decision is whether or not you have to choose whether or not you want to be led by this person. But after you have agreed to be led by someone, then the next thing is to trust and to follow. Yes, to trust and to follow. So that is how to improve your speed. You improve your speed, you know, by being of quick understanding. And quick understanding comes by adopting the thought. You adopt the mentality. You adopt it. We are doing this. Okay, we're doing it. We're in. Do you fully get it? You don't fully get it, but you're in. You get it. You get it with time, but we are in and we are going. And that is it. Then you find yourself benefiting from others who are able to think faster or able to process things faster. Hallelujah. So when it comes to God, for example, he says, if God has sent you, try to think the way God thinks. Let his mind be your mind. Try to understand the burden and the purpose that God has. What is God's burden today? God's burden is the salvation of the fallen human race. Jesus has sent us into the world to proclaim his word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's heart is bleeding for the souls of pitiful human beings who are perishing all over the world today. Do not do anything that is different from the vision of the one who has sent you. Improve your speed of understanding. Try to follow his way. Try to think the way your leader is thinking. Right? So we who are children of God and servants of God, we need to believe and try to think the way God is thinking and try to understand what is important to God and follow that. Now, if you apply it, let's say, even to your workplace, one of the things that will help you is to learn to adopt what your leader is thinking, to think the way your leader is thinking. Whoever your boss is, try to see what is and adopt it. Do you see? You take it on. Otherwise, don't accept to work for him. That's all. You get it? Don't accept to work for him. Find someone else you can accept, whose leadership you can accept and flow. Even same thing with marriage. one of the things that would end lots of arguments in many homes is just to accept and to flow. Once you have accepted to be led by someone, then you just flow. You just flow. But if everything has to be analyzed, everything has to be explained, everything has to be, you know, you need some diagrams and illustrations to illustrate every simple thing that has to be done, then everything is going to be an argument in the home and things will be really slow. Because every small decision in the home has to go to the Supreme Court and for a final judgment, you're going to have a problem. There are some things you just adopt. This verse we read says, let this mind be in you. It means it was not your mind. If it says, let this mind be in you, that mind is not in you. That's not your thought. That's not how you look at it. But to say, let this mind be in you, means you can allow a thought that's not originally your thought. It means you can adopt a way or an approach that is not your approach. But because you have accepted to be led by the person, then you follow it. And like I was sharing on Wednesday, when there's unity, there is blessing. You see, there is a blessing that comes upon whatever they have decided to do, including something as senseless as building a tower from the earth to the sky. And God said, they have agreed to do it, they will succeed. So uniting in a purpose is more important than even having the purpose right from the start. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, improve your speed of copying. This is how to improve your speed. Number two is to improve your speed of copying. If you're going to copy something, then you should copy it quickly. Right? Yes. If you're going to copy something, then copy it quickly. People who amount to something are fast at following. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, Jesus had told some people to follow him. And he says, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Right? They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, this sentence would have made sense, enough sense, if it said, and they left the ship and their father and followed him. Because it would seem that what is important there is probably what they left and what they did, that they followed him. But the Bible has not left out the element of speed. That it's not just that they left the ship or their father and followed, but also when they did it, the speed with which they did it. And that makes a world of difference. You get it? So they left their father immediately. It's different from they left the ship at the end of the year. They left it immediately and followed him and followed him and followed him. So when we speed again at copying speed and at following speed at doing the things that we decide to do is still going to be important. It says people who amount to something are fast at following. When you are fast at following, you are fast at copying. Jesus always wanted people to cut out things that would delay them from following him. He said, let the dead bury their dead. Just follow me. This is what Jesus said. Most people are slow in copying others. That is why they never become great in anything. Increase your speed by following and copying immediately, right? All over the world, people who copy quickly are able to catch up. The Chinese, the Koreans, and even the Europeans are well known for copying quickly and catching up with those ahead of them. This is Jesus is always saying, quickly follow me, right? Quickly follow me. I mean, today when you look around at cars, for example, you just have to introduce a feature in your car, and by the next model year, every car has it. Cars that cost far less than yours have all the features. You know, today they are, you know, supposedly lower brands and models, makes and models of cars that come with all the features that are supposed to be found in Mercedes Benzes and, you know, high end vehicles like that. You buy your little Kia and it has all of them. Because it is speed at copying, you know. And you notice in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says that one of the things that hinders following, you know, or inheriting the promise is slothfulness, right? Hebrews 6 and 12, the Bible says, be not slothful, be not slothful. Can you bring up that verse? Hebrews 6 and 12, it says, and be not, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises, right? It says, you must be followers of those who through faith means believing, it means trusting, and patience, they inherit the promises. But you see the first line, it says the main hindrance to following is slothfulness. And slothfulness has to do with slowness, has to do with laziness, has to do with being retarded and delaying, you know. It makes people not follow. And when you don't follow those who have inherited the promise, then you will not inherit the promise. So many things will not happen for you, even though you're trying to follow others for whom those same things have happened. You will not experience it because you will end up doing the right thing, but you do it too late. Arriving at the bus stop to catch a bus is the right thing to do because that's where we find buses, at the bus stop. But who can say it doesn't matter when you arrive at the bus stop so long as you arrive at the bus stop? No. When you get there, makes a world of difference to whether you should even go there at all. So if you're going to go to the bus stop and if you're going to go late, then don't even bother to go. Stay at home. But if it is your intention to do the right thing, which is to come to the bus stop to catch the bus, then do it on time. Add speed to it, because speed will multiply your chances of catching the bus, and that will make a world of difference to the sense in leaving your home at all. Can I have an amen? Right?
Amen.
Improve your speed of implementation. Improve your speed of implementation, right? So I know you do it. But do it now, right? I made haste, Psalm 119 and verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Speed is necessary in obeying instructions. Right, the accomplishments of Jehu are the best examples of speedy implementation. Jehu went straight to the point with a waste no time, take no prisoners style of accomplishment. He accomplished the execution of two kings, Joram and Ahaziah, and the execution of one queen, Jezebel, the execution of 70 sons of Ahab, and the execution of one congregation of Baal within 24 hours. Everything was done within 24 hours. You know, fast. Stop wasting time on your assignments. Get to the job and accomplish it quickly. Today, now, immediately, straight away, start this minute, instantly, increase your speed, right? So we can all help ourselves by deciding that if it must be done, it must be done now. The time to do it is now, right? Right. If rest is a factor, yes, rest still awaits us after it is done, right? So let's do it and rest instead of let's rest and do it. Do you see? Yeah. It is where you put your rest. That's what is causing so much to go wrong and so much to be delayed and so much to be left out of your life. It is the fact that you do it, but you do it later. You see, the Bible talks about the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Now, the only thing those two groups had different or did differently was where they put their rest. Do you understand? One group decided to buy their extra oil now and then rest. The other group thought, let's rest now and then we'll get the oil later. Do you see? And the Bible says the second group that put the rest before the assignment, they were the ones called foolish. They were the ones called foolish. So people who rest first are being foolish. And in the end, that group missed the opportunity. What a miss. They bought the wedding dress. They traveled the distance to the wedding. They took the time off work to be at the wedding. They did all the things that had to be done, except that they had their rest in the wrong place. And it cost them the same amount of effort that it cost the other group, and yet the other group was able to attend their wedding, which means their effort was rewarded and crowned, whilst this group's effort went to waste. And sometimes our lives are wasted, our money is wasted, so much is wasted because we don't know how to take advantage of the moment, how to do the right thing at the right time. Most of us think that all that matters is to do the right thing or to want to do the right thing. That's even a step behind. Because there are some people who won't even do the right thing. They just have a desire to do the right thing, but they won't even do it. Then there are those who have a desire and who will do it, but they'll do it at the wrong time. And they'll also come back with zero. So it's not enough to have step one, wanting to do it, or step two, actually doing it. But at step three, do it quickly. Do it now. Do it in good time in order for the whole piece to make sense, right? Never forget the virgins. They were foolish because they put in all the effort. They spent all the money. They traveled the distance just like everybody else. They took time off just like everybody else and did not get to attend the wedding. And another group did the same thing and they got to attend the wedding. The difference was where they placed their resting time. So put your resting time in the right place. Can I have an amen? Then the last one, improve the speed of finishing. Improve your speed of finishing, right? John 4:31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples to one another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. right? In other words, finishing is important to me. That was Jesus Christ. In order to increase your speed of finishing, follow the example of Christ. Follow the example of Christ. Jesus was urgent about finishing his work. What did he do? He would cut out even meals and anything that would keep him from finishing his work. You must cut out certain things from your life if you are to finish your work. So we're talking about improving your speed, improving how quickly you complete your assignments. And the answer is to do what Jesus did. Jesus even cut out his meal, something that he rightfully deserved. He just suspended eating. And he said, I want to finish my work. How is it that you haven't done your assignment and you're watching a movie? I mean, how come you're going out on a date and you have homework just waiting for you? It's not done. Do you see? You're looking forward to eating some shish kebab and other things, and your homework is not done. Do you see? Jesus would have suspended that outing and gotten that homework done first before he would go if he had to go. Do you see? And the truth is that we're just so not like Jesus Christ, right? We often don't want to cut out anything. And because we want to live our normal and regular lives, even at extraordinary and out of normal seasons, we find ourselves not being able to accomplish much, not being able to finish things. But there are times when you need to separate yourself from certain things. Everybody's going out. You decide to stay in just to get it done. You know, everyone is doing this. You decide to exclude yourself. You decide not to go to bed, just to stay up to get it done. Stay up to get it done. If you know how to stay up to watch a movie, then learn how to stay up to get other things done. So you can meet the deadline. So you can meet the deadline because you do it for other things.
The preacher.
So cut out some sleep. Cut out some sleep. Cut out some of the things you are actually entitled to and get the thing done and finish it. Right? Says the reason why people do not finish their work is because they do many things that are not their job. There are things that only you can do. So get to the job and concentrate on it. See, sometimes people leave what they're doing or what they should be doing or the one that is their assignment. And they get busy doing so many other things. And they think that because you're busy doing something, then it's enough justification for leaving your work undone. But when the time of judgment comes, you'll be judged not by what or on what you did for others. You'll be judged on what you did. The part that was assigned to you is what you'll be judged on. So you need to focus and concentrate on what is before you. Never stop until you finish. Unfinished things cannot be used. A car that has only three wheels cannot be used. It doesn't matter that it has 75% of the wheels it needs. 75% of the wheels you need will still leave you parked in front of your house, just like having 0% of the wheels you need.
Okay.
So if you're going to do it, then do it thoroughly and finish it so you can be rewarded for it. If you do many great things but do not finish your work, you are still a failure. Why create a beautiful car with only three tires? Stop saying, I just need to get one more tire. We cannot use your nice car that has only three tires. No one is saying that you have not worked hard. Unfinished work is simply unusable. You see, that is why Jesus was intent on finishing his work. If he had preached and healed the sick but had not gone to the cross, the world would still not be saved, in spite of him having done most of what was to be done. Even to arrive from heaven to the earth itself was like a chunk of the work done. And then to spend time here preaching and teaching, that was another chunk done. But the main job was to die, which was going to take only one day. You see? Yes. Sometimes people don't understand why their work is not accepted at their office. Sometimes when people's work has been rejected, they get so offended and so hurt. Do you see? But they don't understand that really, really, you put in the effort. No one is saying you didn't put in the effort. But sometimes that last little bit that needs to go in to make the effort make sense was not done. And based on that, your work is rejected. You see, and then it offends you so much because you think about how many hours you've put in the work. You've put in so much time and nobody does anything with it. But the thing is that you put in so much time and presented it so late that it could not be used. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To do the will of him, not just to do it and finish it. Do it and finish it. Do it and finish it. If you would take on the assignment, then take on also the commitment to finishing it. And that will lead to a great reward. It will be a blessing for you. Amen. I hope you're blessed by
Amen.
Yes.
Message. And I want you to bow your heads and let's pray, everybody. I want you to pray and ask God for speed. All right. Ask God to help you. Just say, Lord, I realize that speed is a determinant of success. It's a determinant of victory. It's a determinant of whether or not I will even be blessed. You know, speed, 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 speed. How quickly I act. How quickly I take decisions. How quickly I respond to things. How quickly I do even the right thing. To do the right thing still needs to be done at the right time. And it needs to be done with speed. Right? So pray, everybody, lift up your hand right there in your homes and just pray and say, Lord, please help my speed. Please help my speed. Yes, deliver me from slowness, Lord. Deliver me from dullness and slothfulness and delay, Lord. Loving to sleep when there's work waiting for me, when there's stuff waiting to be done, Lord. Deliver me from seeking to take my rest at the wrong time. When there is work to be done, when there's an assignment before me, I have homework to do, I have cooking to do, I have things to do, and taking my rest at the wrong time, Lord, help me to be wise. I don't want to be a foolish virgin. I want to be one of the wise ones who takes their rest at the right time. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray with you if you want to give your life to Jesus today. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I realize I am not saved. Jesus is not the Lord of my life. And today I want to commit my life to Jesus and want to be saved. I want to be a true child of God. I want to be a real Christian. Say this prayer with me right where you are. And everybody join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner.
I know I am a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
You died for my sins.
So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's have communion right now before we share the grace. Okay.
This bread I hold represents the body of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to personally thank you for sending your son. I thank you, you are real. You made the heavens, you made the sun, you made the moon, you made the stars, you made the universe, and I believe in you. I'm so sorry and apologize to you for how this world have managed to create a system in which you are excluded and ignored. I am apologizing to you, Father, for all this horribleness towards you. We thank you for your son, whom you have sent to be a savior to us. As we partake of this bread, we believe we are partaking of his body. He was your beloved son. And as we receive this, may we become beloved sons too. And may everybody become a beloved son and a beloved daughter. Thank you for this great blessing. We also receive miracle healing at this time. Oh, for by your stripes and the breaking of your body into pieces on the cross, we are healed. And therefore, as we partake of this broken body, we partake of the healing that came through this broken body. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, the blood of Jesus. Lord, we came into the world to make so many mistakes. Lord, even by the age of 25, we have already made so many mistakes. We never even reached middle age, and our mistakes were more than enough to fill a book. Lord, we pray that our mistake and the effect of our mistakes be wiped out by the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Whatever has canceled our ability to receive love and to walk in love, let our experiences and our mistakes no more be counted against us because of the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Let all curses, remnants of devils, remnants of the serpent seed in us be washed away by this precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Now lift your hands and receive your great blessing from God. Father, thank you for all that have found Jesus today. Let indeed your blessing of peace rest upon everyone who is part of this great service. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your healing flow and your power flow right now. Receive peace from God. Whatever is an issue of concern in your life, receive peace. Receive peace. Receive peace. Receive peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Every source of anxiety, I banish it from your life. Every source of concern, I rebuke it. Be healed of it right now. Be restored. Every niggling fear of sickness and of impending death, I reject it right now in the name of Jesus. That which says you would die this year, You will die next year. You will die soon. You are finished. I rebuke the voice of darkness, the voice of death, the voice of devils in your life. Go now in Jesus' name. You shall not live a life where your life is in question every day. From today, you are at liberty to serve God freely. You are crossing 70 years with ease. You are serving God through the pandemic and beyond. You are bearing much fruit in the season to come. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you and upon your household. Let all those that love Jesus be blessed. And let all those that fight against the Lord, our Savior, be anathema maranatha. Lord, come quickly. According to your word, we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen.